This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. We're going to talk about throwing a Subway sandwich at a law enforcement officer, how they're not changing their ways, they're changing their name. Another Democrat awkwardly uses an F-bomb. It's quite odd. All that, emails, maybe even a little Civil War talk, and so much more coming up in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And again, reminding you, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So by now, I'm sure you've probably heard or seen it, but in case you haven't, let me lay out the situation. You are aware that Trump has sent the National Guard into D.C. He's taken over the D.C. Police Department. Trump has essentially said, I'm done. I'm done with the crime, the homelessness, the everything else. Our nation's capital is a war zone. It stops now. Well, now there are federal troops all over D.C. There are troops. There are uniformed cops. There are cops in what you would call, you know, tactical gear. There are, D.C. has a presence, a law enforcement slash military presence now. Well, D.C. also has something inside of it. Communists, legions of them, legions and legions and legions of them. Remember how D.C. votes, 92% Democrat. It is, I think it's comfortably the bluest area in the United States of America. If you live in D.C., you're probably a communist. And here's the thing. And I find it humorous sometimes. Sometimes it's awful and it's sad. Sometimes it's hilarious. But we talk about how Democrats are communists and communists are revolutionaries. Democrats are communists and communists are revolutionaries. The communist is trying to break everything. He is fighting a revolution from inside the country. He's trying to break everything. And that requires breaking the law. If you are going to fight a revolution, you are going to have to break the laws of the country you're fighting a revolution in. Our founding fathers, I have news for you. When they had a revolution against the British king, broke the law. There's no way to fight a revolution and stay within the law. So breaking the law has always been part and parcel of being a Democrat, certainly a Democrat activist. I'm not saying every Democrat breaks the law, but they all encourage it and they all want it to happen. The ones who don't physically break the law will sometimes passively, sometimes not, encourage others to do so. Hey, someone should post that guy's address. What are you doing there? You're encouraging the mentally ill demons in your party to show up at someone's home and do something. Hurt somebody, kill somebody, vandalize something. Maybe just run-of-the-mill intimidation. You want the law broken. And that's always been the mentality. That's the mentality of the communist. Now, fast forward to where we are today. Yes, we have the presidency in the House and the Senate, and we have a bunch of red states and things like that, but the blue areas of this country are as communist as North Korea. They really genuinely are. The blue areas, because there is this self-licking ice cream cone thing that happens there, where in order to get elected in a blue city now, in a blue state, in order to get elected there, you have to take the most extreme Stalin-esque position on every single issue. Otherwise, someone running against you will get to the left of you and they will be elected. This has caused either moderate Democrats to lie and act communist or flat out lose. They just lose their election and they get bounced. Remember, AOC bounced an established sitting Democrat in good standing out of the Bronx. Why? She got to the left of him. No, he's a Democrat. I'm a commie. Don't you want me? And the Democrat voters went, oh, yeah, that's what I want. So as a result, it's not just that the cities are left. They've gone further and further and further. And with every election cycle, they keep going. The Chicago bounced Lori Lightfoot and elected Brandon Johnson. With every election cycle, they keep going more left and more left and more left. Look, this guy's about to be the next mayor of Minneapolis.
So what we envision is a public safety system that works for everyone. And that means ensuring that we have an accountable police force and a police force that is an important part of the public safety system, but making sure that when we call 911, we get an appropriate response. Just like we don't expect our officers to put out a fire, for example, we have firefighters coming. We learned from the city in their own report that nearly half of 911 calls that don't need to be responded to with armed officers. And so with that knowledge, we know that that's going to take funding. We need to invest in things like
that. Somali's about to take over one of our great cities. Anyway, so keep going left. It keeps going left. It keeps going left. All right. Well, this has done many things. Obviously, it's filled up our cities with murders and rapists and illegals and vandalism and robberies. And it's done many things, which you already know about, we talk about. But it's done something else. The Democrat, the normal Democrat, well, normal, the normie Democrat who lives in these cities, well, he has gotten used to having protections. He has a protection. His protection is state protection. Remember what Brandon Darby talked about? Pause on this. Remember what Brandon Darby talked about yesterday? If you missed it, it's on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We interviewed Brandon Darby last night in Hour 2. He was talking about Mexico and how this cartel overtook that cartel. And basically, it depended on your level of state protection. Yeah, maybe you're in a town, a city where the mayor looks out for you, but what if the governor hates you or something like that? You need as high a level of state protection as you possibly can. That's how all corrupt societies work. It works the exact same way in blue cities. If you are an established communist in these blue cities, you know that your DA is never going to charge you with a crime. You're used to that. They're not going to, even if you do, you get slapped on the wrist, they'll turn you loose. And in Washington, D.C., that's the most extreme example of this, because it's not just the street animals. It's not just the rapists and murderers who get set loose. Democrats who live in D.C. have watched time after time after time after time where a corrupt communist in the government finds himself in trouble, but he also finds his trial, his judge, his whatever, in D.C., and he walks away scot-free. We complain. I complain about guys like Kevin Kleinsmith, the FBI lawyer who lied on a FISA warrant, which should send you to prison for the rest of your natural life. To do that with your position, he's still practicing law. He got probation for like 6 months or a year. Why? In D.C. So that has created, the Democrats who live in D.C., a feeling of invincibility. You own all the levels of government. Nobody's going to charge you. You can just fight your revolution, act like an animal, and you'll never get in trouble. Which brings us to a Sean Charles Dunn. I couldn't believe my eyes when I first saw the video. We had Customs and Border Protection agents in tactical gear walking through D.C., helping, arresting, doing the things they're doing. This dude, surprise, surprise, wearing short shorts and a pink shirt, used to work for the DOJ, but Pam Bondi fired him this morning, starts freaking out at the sight of tactical agents there. But he doesn't just freak out. He's carrying in his hands a foot-long sub from Subway, and you can look at this on video. He walks right up to one of these guys, law enforcement officers. He is 2 feet away. I don't mean like he randomly tossed his sub in their direction from across the street. He is 2 feet away, facing this guy, rears back, and spikes his sub off of an officer's chest on camera in the middle of the city, surrounded by police officers in tactical gear. Surprise, surprise, he spikes it off of his chest, turns, and starts running. Quite a feminine run, if I might point out. Quite a feminine run. He did everything but put his little limp wrists out there to the side as he's running. Ah, I look like Lindsey Graham running up the road. He finds himself arrested. Today he wakes up. He's facing felony assault charges, and he's lost his job. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard of in my entire life. He got so used to being in a communist-controlled area, fighting his revolution without the threat of any kind of response, and now he lost his career and his freedom. Beautiful. Now, I want to make sure you never run like that guy runs. That's why I want a male vitality stack from Chalk running through your veins at all times. I did it again today. Today wasn't a banana and peanut butter. Today was breakfast tacos. Surprise, surprise, breakfast tacos. Ob had made some blueberries. Breakfast tacos, blueberries. I had water with it, trying to cut down on my orange juice intake. And male vitality stack washed down. Full of pep, full of energy. Happy with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. I'm telling you, if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're young or you're old or you're looking for a pre-workout or just vitamins and minerals, or maybe you're looking to jack your T levels up and feel good all the time, natural herbal supplements from Chalk will save your freaking life. It'll save your mood. It has changed my entire outlook. C-H-O-Q, chalk.com/Jesse. Gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. Go and get one. Chuck.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. All right, let's dig into some emails, shall we? We have some room we have to clear out before we make fun of Chuck Schumer for being a liar and other things. Well, Jesse, really enjoying Civil War history and looking forward to more. People always talk about World War I being the birth of trench warfare. But if you read Sam Watkins' account of battles like Kenesaw Mountain, it becomes clear that this strategy was used as early as the Civil War. Confederates would dig trenches, line them with pine trees, shave down to giant spikes, point them toward the enemy line. They would use grape shot to mow down approaching Union soldiers. Pause. Grape shot, just for those who don't know, in a cannon or a cannon-type weapon, it's not just cannonballs that go in there. You can put, I know it seems like an obvious point, but you can put balls, steel ball bearings, not steel, but ball bearings, sometimes steel, in there, a bunch of them. So instead of one big cannonball, you have a bunch of mini cannonballs. When that explosion happens and they come out the end of the barrel, it's exactly what you'd expect, essentially like a gigantic shotgun mowing down everyone in front of them. Anyway, back to this. Sam Watkins described it as being a fine pink mist in the air that morning on Kenesaw Mountain, advancing soldiers easily being picked off one by one from the new Henry repeater rifle, so on and so forth. Must have been brutal fighting, equal in many ways to World War I. Wondering if you consider telling stories about, he names a bunch of battles. And yes, I have done Civil War history several times before, and I will continue to do so. I may get to Kenesaw Mountain. I may get to that at some point. I'm telling you right now, for those who don't know, I'm already working on the next one for you. It's already begun. It's going to be, I mean, I think I already told you, it's going to be Andersonville Prison. It was a Confederate prisoner of war camp. A bunch of Union soldiers went there and died and things like that. Probably won't be a multi-parter, I don't think, at least not what I'm digging into right now, but it'd be interesting. Anyway, yeah, look, war is horrible. All war is horrible, of course. And the whole digging trenches thing, you know that's still in effect. Russia-Ukraine, trenches. Russia-Ukraine, on top of everything else, is showing us what modern combat, with the weapons we have now, what it looks like. It is drone-heavy. It's artillery heavy, and it's back to being trench warfare. I've seen more footage of the terrible fighting over there than I care to ever get into or think about again. And they do what human beings do. Look, it's a natural thing when the air itself is full of deadly things that will kill you. There's only one direction to go, down. You dig down. And in the Civil War, a lot of these tactics, I don't want to say they were new, but the weapons were getting better. This is for people who don't know weapons as well as others. There's no insult. People have different levels of knowledge. Just because a weapon is a what you would consider a muzzle loader, a single shot rifle type thing, doesn't mean they're all the same. They were starting to figure out things like putting rifling inside of the barrel. What does that do? It gives you more length on the round. You can shoot further. You can shoot more accurate. Either way, the rifles were better. And in the Civil War, the tactics oftentimes hadn't changed that much. So you would still take armies of men, large quantities of men, and you would just throw them at someone's defensive lines, and they would just get slaughtered. There are stories, several stories, of commanders on both sides. Remember how intimate this war was. These are your fellow Americans. You're fighting a civil war. There's nothing more terrible than a civil war. Commanders on both sides essentially weeping as they slaughtered the opposing army, the opposing men en masse. They would just keep throwing themselves at things that, I mean, volume doesn't handle it, and you just keep picking them off. You're just sitting there like me and Luke shooting gophers in Montana. You just sit on the back porch with a rifle in your hand, and you just sit and pow, pow, pow. There's nothing to it. It's like sitting at home shooting gophers. A terrible, terrible affair. I would recommend reading on the Civil War. Maybe you think it's boring. That's a very common thought, that it's boring because it's older. And where are the planes and machine guns? It's anything but boring. The more you read into it, I think you'll take a different point of view on it, unless you're really into it. It's really heartbreaking more than anything else because they're all Americans. Right? I know in American schools, depending on where you are as far as the Mason-Dixon line goes, in American schools, especially northern schools, although this has crept more and more into the South, especially in northern schools, the war is only taught North good, South bad. Everyone in the South had slaves. Everyone in the North was an angel and a saint. And so every Southerner died. It was wonderful. And the North was awesome. But it was really just a horrible affair, the whole thing. It was complicated. It was heartbreaking for families, for the troops. The sanitary conditions is something that's really, really gutting me as I read about Andersonville. The disease, it was awful. Hey, let's move on. Let's talk about politics. I want to make fun of Chuck Schumer. That makes me feel better. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, couple things. Chuck Schumer's running his stupid mouth, as always, on television. And he had to do the thing all Democrats do now and drop an F-bomb in public.
And he went to Congress and said, you know what? There's this crime emergency. We need the National Guard out there longer. We need to take over Washington, D.C. Would you grant it?
No way. We'll fight him tooth and nail. And right now,
Democrats, it seems forced. Everyone can tell that it's forced. Stop trying to butch up by dropping cuss words. It seems forced. That's one. Two, there is out of touch, and then there's whatever this is from Chuck Schumer. Listen to this.
I walk around all the time. I wake up early in the morning sometimes and take a nice walk as the sun is rising around some of the Capitol and the other monuments and things. And I feel perfectly safe. They're full of it.
DC's perfectly safe. I walk around all the time. Well, that's weird. Because, I mean, we're hearing things, lots of things, like this.
The Washington Post took a poll in late April, early May. 91% of Washington residents say crime is a problem. 51%, it is an extremely serious problem. We've had people before put this in racial terms. And this is what I must say, this is one thing that I think Democrats have gotten so wrong about crime. Let me just read the Washington Post here. There are stark divides among lines of race and income in the poll, with black residents and lower income residents significantly more worried about crime than white residents and those with higher incomes.
Huh. Well, how do you explain this then?
I walk around all the time. I wake up early in the morning sometimes and take a nice walk as the sun is rising around some of the Capitol and the other monuments and things. And I feel perfectly safe. They're full of it.
Did I ever tell you about the political fundraiser I went to one time in Phoenix? So rewind with me. I'm running for Congress. I believe this is my second time running for Congress. I'm not looking at the timeline in my head. Plus, I have very low IQ, so I lose track of things like that. But I'm running for Congress down in Tucson, Arizona, southern Arizona. And I earn the Republican nomination again. Remember, I won the primary twice, then lost the general twice. But okay, I'm officially the nominee. Now, this is the year Mitt Romney is the Republican nominee. Don't yell at me. He was the Republican nominee. There's nothing I can do about that, okay? Mitt Romney was the Republican nominee that year. I get invited. In fact, every Republican for Congress or Senate in the state of Arizona got invited. Invited to what? I don't remember whose house it was, some super rich guy. There was going to be a super rich guy having a super rich person fundraiser in the Phoenix area, and Mitt Romney was going to be there, and John Kyle was going to be there. That's going to matter for the purposes of our story. So John Kyle was at the time, if you don't remember, a United States Senator in Arizona. He hated me and I hated him, but that's beside the point. Either way, he's going to be there. I get the invite. Of course, we're all trying to raise money. Okay, I'll drive up to Phoenix and raise some money. That's fine. So put on my suit, drive up to Phoenix. Now, maybe this is old hat for you, but I certainly had never experienced this before. I've lived in my entire life as a normal person. We drive up. There's a gate in the house. I don't mean a gated community. The house itself has a gate. There are multiple law enforcement officers and Secret Service agents at the entrance of the gate. They will have to check you, verify your ID, and already I feel pretty fancy, right? Hey, about this private security. And doesn't everybody want to experience this at one point in their life? Hey, what's your name? Oh, you're on the list. Doesn't everyone want to be on the list? I was on the list. Okay, yes, I'm on the list. Sweet. All right, so I walk in. Walk in, I've never seen a place like this in my freaking life. Who knows what this place costs? $20 million, $10 million. It was gigantic. You walk in, everyone's dressed to the nines, the men, the women. Of course, they have, surprise, surprise, the crappiest food you could imagine. Would you like any of the spinach and caviar bites? No. Do you have cheese sticks or something in here? Is there something? Oh, Chris, you would have hated it. You can roll your eyes all you want. It all sucked. No, I don't want a duck liver. I want a chicken wing. Okay, do you have something? But it was just what you picture. Champagne and the fanciest food. So I'm starving to death trying to find something to eat in this place. But what was noticeable was there was Secret Service everywhere. And they were obvious because this is before they DEI'd the whole thing and hired a bunch of tubby women to be part of the Secret Service. It was all exactly what you'd expect. Strapping dudes who look like they could punch your head off your shoulders. Suits. We're talking SMGs, machine guns, the works. It looked like the President of the United States was there, but the President of the United States was not there. Why all the Secret Service? John Kyle was there. John Kyle, at the time, he was the minority whip in the Senate. The minority whip is not even the minority leader. He is under the minority leader. He's the minority whip. But because he was in a Senate leadership position, wherever he went, Dairy Queen to get some soft serve at midnight or a fancy party, armored vehicles, legions of Secret Service agents followed him everywhere. Chuck Schumer is not the minority whip. He is the minority leader. He is the top Democrat in the United States Senate. And he says this about D.C.
I walk around all the time. I wake up early in the morning sometimes and take a nice walk as the sun is rising around some of the Capitol and the other monuments and things. And I feel perfectly safe. They're full of it.
These are the fakest people in the history of mankind. I don't doubt that he goes for a little walk every now and then. But shoot, you can walk downtown Juarez with Chuck Schumer's level of security. Do you know how many armored black SUVs with bulletproof glass are surrounding Chuck Schumer as he walks around D.C.? You know how many large Secret Service agents are walking right next to Chuck Schumer with enough weapons to conquer a small country? But this is exactly what the elite communist does. He destroys your life. He destroys the life of poor people, destroys the life of middle-class people, wrecks everything about you. And as he sits there luxuriating in a mansion, eating steak, he goes with a straight face and says, I don't know what everyone's complaining about. There's a ton to eat around here. Fake. Everything about these people is freaking fake. All right, we'll talk about what Tulsi Gabbard said. Maybe some more hope. I guess we'll see before we do that. How much do you love your dog? They are something, aren't they? How much do you love your dog? There's this thing in our house with Fred. Whenever anybody yells at Fred, the other three people in the house will jump to his defense no matter what. It's amazing. It is the most pathetic thing in the world, and I'm ashamed to say I participate in this too. Don't yell at him, even when he did something wrong. Isn't that pathetic? But that's why we sprinkle Rough Greens on his food, because we friggin' love him. They are part of your family, and we should give our dogs nutrition, and they don't get nutrition from dog food. Dog food is brown because dog food is dead. Brown things are dead. I'm not saying change out your dog's food. Sprinkle the number one dog supplement in America on your dog's food, and you will know it's making a difference. I'm telling you right now, you will see it in your dog. His breath alone, his coat, energy level, just a happier dog, better dog, like you are. How do you feel when you eat healthy versus fast food? RoughGreens.com, code Jesse, or call them. 214 Rough Dog, code Jesse. Emails next.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Okay, so Tulsi Gabbard sat down with Megyn Kelly and dropped this little nugget about Fauci. Of course, I don't have to introduce Fauci. Everybody remembers that nasty little troll and how much he wrecked our lives. Here it was.
Looking at the gain of function research that in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many others around, many of these other biolabs around the world, was actually U.S. funded and leads to this dangerous kind of research that in many examples has resulted in either a pandemic or some other major health crisis.
Well, let me ask you specifically, because we already know that EcoHealth Alliance was partnering with this Wuhan lab to create, to do gain-of-function research.
That's right.
We just have never been able to have somebody say, and it was that exact experiment that led to this COVID bug. But have we gotten there? What's the new thing that you're digging in on?
We are working on that with Jay Bhattacharya and look forward to being able to share that, hopefully very soon.
Okay.
That specific
link.
Correct. Between the gain of function research and what we saw with COVID-19.
I mean, that would be extraordinary because just so the audience knows, if that's true, if it was Peter Daszak's research with the Wuhan so-called bat lady that caused this pandemic, then we did fund it. Then Anthony Fauci helped fund the pandemic.
The thing that he denied over and over and over to Senator Rand Paul's questioning.
Did the United States of America, and hey, let's just get right down to it. Did you and me, did we create COVID with our money? But let's talk about how this works. Well, here's a headline from The Blaze. Researchers tied to Fauci's COVID cover-up still scoring big NIH grants. I'm not going to go into the article or that, but you know how this works. The federal government, Republicans and Democrats, they steal our money from your paycheck. That's called taxes. They steal the money you work hard for. They then fund the things they want funded through grants so much of the time. So this gives them a degree of separation. So if you're in the federal government and you want to fund gain-of-function research, which means you turn a virus into a weapon, if you want to fund that, you don't necessarily have to hand the money directly to a government agency to do that. You can find some sort of NGO, non-government agency, some sort of a university, some organization. And instead of you funding a government organization with $1 million, I'm just going to use X, it's a simple number, you turn and you hand $1 million to this private organization and you say, hey, I know you're doing a bunch of great work. Here's $1 million. Why don't you do some gain-of-function research for me and then get back to me and let me know what you find? This goes well beyond health, I should note. This is how so many evil, despicable things are funded in this country. They steal your money. They then hand it out to non-government organizations so you can pay for the destruction of your country. That's what it comes down to. But circling back to this, and actually I'm going to play this minute-long thing. I'm going to play it in its entirety again. I just want to take a moment before we do that, and I want to just dwell for a moment on what COVID meant to you and to me. What that horrible period of time did to not just the country as a whole, to us personally. Your health, the health of your loved ones, mental and physical health, your education. How many high school kids didn't get to graduate? Maybe you worked your whole life for sports and missed out on that. Maybe you didn't get to bury your mom. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you had your own small business. Maybe you lost it. Maybe you still haven't recovered financially, still buried in debt from all that. The destruction of our society from COVID is still widespread to this day. It's not gone. You can't make that pass with just a few years, that kind of destruction. So as you dwell on that, let me play this again. Did you pay for it too?
Looking at the gain of function research that in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many others around, many of these other bio labs around the world, was actually US funded and leads to this dangerous kind of research that in many examples has resulted in either a pandemic or some other
major health crisis.
But let me ask you specifically, because we already know that EcoHealth Alliance was partnering with this Wuhan lab to create, to do gain-of-function research.
That's right.
We just have never been able to have somebody say, and it was that exact experiment that led to this COVID bug. But have we gotten there? What's the new thing that you're digging in on?
We are working on that with Jay Bhattacharya and look forward to being able to share that, hopefully very soon.
Okay.
That specific
link.
Correct. Between the gain of function research and what we saw with COVID-19.
I mean, that would be extraordinary because just so the audience knows, if that's true, if it was Peter Daszak's research with the Wuhan so-called bat lady that caused this pandemic, then we did fund it. Then Anthony Fauci helped fund the pandemic.
The thing that he denied over and over and over to Senator Rand Paul's questioning.
That's right. Under oath.
Under oath. Exactly.
Man. Look, this is something that's been out there for a while. Something we've discussed before. Something that you probably already suspected. I already suspected, but did the American taxpayer pay for the creation of COVID? And then the people who facilitated that payment lied about it as they destroyed our freedoms? Wow. People have to go to prison. This is why we don't need more promises. People have to go to prison for what they did to this country. Anyway, speaking of walking down memory lane, have you dug into Hillsdale yet? Hillsdale College? Hillsdale College is obviously that university. If you have to send your kids to college, that's the one everyone wants to get in. The line is practically wrapped around the globe at this point in time because parents want their children to get a real education, not America-hating communist filth, a classical education. Learn about economics. Learn real history. Learn good things. That's what Hillsdale does. It's not reserved just for the geniuses who managed to get into Hillsdale College. They hand that out to me and to you at no cost. They want you to have access to a Hillsdale education at no cost. And look, you know how much I hate school. They're interesting. I can sit down right after the show and take a class on the Roman Republic from Hillsdale at no cost. So can you? I can learn about capitalism at no cost with my kids. Man, what an education for your children if they never get into Hillsdale. And let's be honest, they probably won't. Mine sure won't. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. That's it. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Let's talk about DEI in emails next.
This is an iHeart podcast.